Humboldt County is in the upper left-hand corner of California, about 280 miles north of San Francisco. And we have 128,000 people, and the county is the size of the state of Connecticut. So that gives you an idea of how rural it is, although half the population lives in what I call an urban area, or what we defined as an urban area. And it's a relatively poor county, and this shows you a lot of our roads look like this, which, and we are very automobile dependent, as you will see. And as a result, or of the poverty and automobile dependence and a lot of other factors, a relatively high percentage of our children are obese. And we went into schools and weighed and measured kids, and 31% were at risk overweight or overweight, as compared to 15% by the NHANES data. But we did have the support from the Board of Supervisors as a public health branch to get involved in built environment, and also the support of the planning department, which, if you haven't talked to your planning departments, I suggest you do, because they get it. And they are waiting for public health to put a human face on it, and they're really eagerly you know, just jumped into this. And there are state pressures for governmental bodies to consider greenhouse gas reduction, and there are lots of beneficial public health effects, and they actually, our health impact assessment played right into this. As you've heard, that health analysis is not a standard part of the environmental impact reports, and it does facilitate proactive policymaking efforts. And but basically, we're always interested in public health and avoiding problems before they occur. And I think you must have an idea of what an health impact assessment is right now, so I'm going to skip over this slide, but go into, in our health impact assessment, we had an excellent team. And in addition to our public health department, we teamed up with Human Impact Partners, and you're going to hear from Celia Harris of Human Impact Partners. They had had a research group that had skill doing health impact assessments before, and the Humboldt Partnership for Active Living, which is a very active community-based group with a project goal of getting people out of their cars and biking and walking. And we were lucky enough to get funding by the California Endowment to enable the project to happen. So you've heard of indicators, and what are they? They're actually measurable pieces of data that are relevant to development and the built environment, in our case, with implications for community health. And we followed the San Francisco model, so we had six elements, as they did, and we are going to talk a little bit about the safe and sustainable transportation, one of the indicators in that field today, just to give you an example. Was a very participatory process. We had 37 community organizations contributing data, and I think this is a really important part of making it a community process. And the planning, city county planners were actually had tons of data that just needed, was begging for a health analysis. Pirated with their blessings, the San Francisco Healthy Development Measurement Tool, but we had to ruralize it because, frankly, noise is not an issue for us, but water quality is. And and now we have this Healthy Development Measurement Tool that has a lot of that could be used for other analysis. For example, there's a port project being proposed for Humboldt County, and we got built. We're able to get. In the part of the business plan is for them to do an upfront health impact assessment to try to avoid some of the problems that Oakland and Long Beach have had. We also furthered the community involvement by having focus groups, and we invited 300 people, and I think we got about 65, but we had four separate in four different communities. And the overall consensus was they wanted to alternatives to single occupancy motor vehicle travels, and particularly for people who could not get around otherwise, who don't use cars, and which is 9% of the population. There's concern with climate change and physical activity options, and there was a support for vitality of locally based business, particularly the resource-based. It's a resource-based economy, so agriculture and timber. And they helped us narrow the indicators down from 65 to 35 for this analysis. This is an example of compact building that maintains, this is a town of Lolita. It's relatively compact city center, and it maintains the rural character and functioning agricultural lands right about it. We're right at a good point in our community. We're considering a general plan, which is a blueprint for 25 years of development in the county, and they had narrowed things down, well, not narrowed things down at all, but we're considering three plan alternatives. So we did our health impact assessment of the three plan alternatives, and plan A is essentially infill with 6,000 housing units, which would accommodate 100% of the projected growth need over the 25 years. And plan B would allow modest growth in the periphery of the existing infrastructure and the existing town city centers. And plan C basically allowed for much more extensive development. And when I'm not in the county, I call it the sprawl option, but I'm not allowed particularly to say that. But you know what I mean. So I'm going to introduce Celia Harris of Human Impact Partners to take us through one of the indicators.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Celia. Human Impact Partners did the analysis for this project, and we produced this big document with an analysis of 35 indicators. So I'm just going to go through one really quick. We looked at the vehicle miles traveled, and which is basically how much people drive. And in Humboldt County, people drive more than they do in the state on average. And actually, they do 2.7 times more. Actually, rural areas of the state drive 2.7 times more than urban areas of the state.
So left-hand.
Left button. Okay. So basically, the nitty-gritty of what we did with this is we had a formula, and we basically projected the population under each of the three scenarios, and we split it up between urban and rural, and we defined urban as residential density of over 1,000 people per square mile, and rural was below 1,000 people per square mile. And so we had rural and urban, and then we just put the weight of 2.7 on the rural. And then using what we know about how much people drive now, we were able to come up with relative differences in between the three alternatives. And this shows it here. Alternative A, using alternative A as a baseline, because that would produce the least driving. More dense development means people are living closer together and you don't have to drive as much. Alternative C produced 400 million more vehicle miles traveled per year, which sounds like a lot. It's actually a third, right, of the total. So the total is 1.25 million billion miles is how much people drive now per year. So 400 million is a third of that. So it's actually kind of a lot. And so it actually has a lot of health implications. There's a few listed here. People are not getting as much exercise. The air quality is not as won't be as good, and more injuries from pedestrian accidents. So it has a lot of health implications, and we're able to show that quantitatively with this. And just briefly, we looked at how this would affect different populations. People without a car would benefit even more from dense development, as would people with less money, as would seniors who don't drive anymore. And then lastly, another part of our HIA is to recommend mitigations regardless of which alternative is eventually chosen. Even if alternative C is chosen, we still recommend encouraging more exercise and public transit use, and by improving facilities for that and employer-based incentive programs and stuff like that. So I think that's it for me.
5 minutes, okay. We're going to get done. We could have talked slower.
Well, people have questions.
questions.
So, yeah, we'll leave time for questions. Here's some examples of indicators that we found were positively affected by planning growth option A, basically infill and fire response time, average minutes traveled to work, households using municipal water systems, which are much safer than the rural water systems, proximity to medical services, accessibility of full-service grocery stores, land area retained for active farming, and land area retained for timber production. And I must admit, I had no idea exactly how it was going to turn out, or even generally how it was going to turn out, and was very surprised when I got the report back and we went through it, and there were positive impact, out of 23 out of the 35 indicators for infill. And on the sprawl option, the negative impact for 30 out of 35, and the only one that actually had positive impact was the number of zip codes that had childcare facilities. So what the lessons learned, it was a graphic example of how planning efforts have substantial public health implications, and that we have, I feel, been able to advance the awareness of health implications of development and the need for mitigation. The county has not selected, actually, whether to go with A, B, or C, but I think they may go with an A minus or a B plus, because they always go for the middle. You've got to have three options. And we have developed a tool which is, as I said, I mentioned, it would not only be useful in our community, but I feel it would be directly transferable to other communities without a lot of the hassle that we had to do. We have the indicators, and then Human Impact Partners on their website has a whole library of literature that, you know, for every indicator there was 20 or 30 references, and that's all generously make it available on their website, which is not on here, but it's humanimpact.org.
At humanimpacts.org, there's a toolkit, and under the toolkit, there's an evidence base, and that's where the...
So, toolkit, humanimpact.org, so toolkit, and then evidence base. And under humpal.org, you can actually find the exact report and the healthy development measurement tool under resources and tools. So I guess that's the end of my presentation. But I do think that we have, in fact, raised our expectations about doing health impact assessments, and actually made contact with people in the development community, some level of which they're quite hostile, and other levels of which they're very eager to, they feel like they're doing healthy development and want the public health seal of approval.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll take a couple of very succinct questions.
Right, he had his hand up first.
I'm just kind of intrigued with the first slide, what brought the authorities to pass that resolution that wanted to take the impact on public health into account. Have there been public pressure? Or?
One of our supervisors had gone to the American Planning Association meeting with and sat next to the HMPEL person and talked about it. I had nothing to do with it, actually. I was really happy that it happened, though.
Okay.